So glad you could join us here on Cranford Radio. My name is Bernie Wagenblast. Well, as you may know, Cranford Radio and Tap Into Cranford have worked together for quite a while. We've done some work together in terms of sharing episodes of Cranford Radio on Tap Into Cranford. And this week, I am so pleased to have Dinah Dunn. She is an editor and writer for Tap Into Cranford as my guest. Dinah, thank you so much for joining me here on Cranford Radio.
I'm so happy to be here.
Let's start off with your background. You joined Tap Into Cranford last year. Did you come from a journalism background before you came into Tap Into Cranford?
I have been a writer-editor for all my entire career, mainly for illustrated nonfiction for large publishers. But I also write books. And when the Cranford Scribes Club started in Cranford, it started last summer, I joined just to see who the other writers were in town. And Rebecca was on there, Rebecca Tantello, the owner of Tap Into Cranford. She said that she was looking for somebody to write. I used to write for a column for the Cranford Chronicle. Mm-hmm. And when the paper was still being delivered. And I enjoyed it a lot because, again, it got me to learn a little bit about Cranford and what's happening in town. And so when that opportunity opened up with Rebecca, I reached out to her and said, hey, you know, if you ever need anybody. And we met and we just hit it off. And, you know, she knows everybody and everything. And it was really great to get a chance to meet her. And again, Tap Into Cranford. It's just such a silly term, but it really is true. I've learned so much in the, I guess it's been like 7 or 8 months that I've been in writing there.
You talked about you edit for primarily nonfiction. What's involved with the editing process? You have a writer, an author who puts things together, and then they submit it to you, and then you take it from there? Is that how it works?
Well, we're a book packager, which is kind of like a literary agent and a design house in the same, all rolled into one. So because a lot of large publishers don't have the staff to do illustrated nonfiction, we take that off their plates. So because illustrated nonfiction, you have to design every spread. It's not like you can just flow text into a template like you can with a text-based book. And there's also photo researching and that sort of thing. So what we do is we approach people that we admire and we say, do you want to, you know, that we think have an illustrated nonfiction book in them? And then we agent it for them. We put the proposal together, we sell it to a publisher, and then we do everything from soup to nuts on a project. And then we deliver the files and they print the book. It's great. I worked at large publishing houses for decades. And so this takes everything I love out of publishing. Like, I don't love meetings and marketing materials and tip sheets and all of that. I don't have to worry about any of that. All I think about is books all day long. So it's really terrific. So that's where I sort of started in that. And I also write, that's also led to me to write books. I write books for usually middle grade for Scholastic, which is under the name Dinah Williams, which is my married name.
You know, I'm long past the days of Scholastic Book Club myself and what was it? The Weekly Reader, I think. I don't know if they still publish that, but I remember that as a kid in school. It was always one of my favorite things because I loved current affairs. Tell me about some of the books that you've written for Scholastic.
Well, right now, I mean, I love anything that like a fourth grade boy will go nuts over. Like, I like to get reluctant readers. I like to hook them with like usually horrible or disgusting facts that make them interested in history. So I've done a book on disasters called Terrible But True. I did one on the 50 states, but I found I did it all on the weird and wonderful things in the 50 states, not like presidential birthplaces that kids really hate. Right now I'm working on a series of four books. They're called the Unsolved series. So I'm launching a new series with Scholastic, and the first one was on Bigfoot. And the second one is on Amelia Earhart's disappearance. So I'm always writing about something, you know, odd and unusual. I actually have a book coming out in April on called Amazing Immortals. And it's about lesser known gods and goddesses around the world. So for middle grade, and that's coming out through Abrams. So yeah, it's definitely keeps me amused.
I imagine it must be a bit of a thrill. Do you have any kids that are in that age group right now?
Not anymore. I have one graduating college and one a junior in high school, so they don't care at all about what I do. But But they did when I was when they were younger in the schools, because I did a lot of school. I've done a lot of presentations in Cranford schools on some of the books that I've written. I'm actually talking to them about doing one for Amazing Immortals right now.
Oh, wow. And I would imagine it was kind of a thrill when you saw your book amidst all the other scholastic books that were targeted to that age group.
That was so exciting because, like you, I grew up with them. So to be in a Scholastic Book Fair, oof, so exciting.
Now that you're into local journalism, tell me about some of the things that you've learned as a local journalist. It's only been a relatively short time, less than a year. Some of the surprises that you've had as a local journalist.
Well, we write 7 stories a week. So even though it hasn't been, I think I started in September. It feels like I've been doing this a long time, but on the but in the best way possible, in the way that I am constantly interested in learning new things. I love the history stories like you. I actually get a lot of my ideas from your blog and your posts. And also, I love Vic Berry over at the Cranford Historical Society. He's such a great resource. I met with him and learned a ton. So those kind of articles are fascinating to me. I love writing that because every time I walk through the town, it resonates. I can't, we did a story recently on the First Baptist Church, and I've walked by that, when I was commuting into the city every single day and just barely glanced at it. But now to know how integral it was in building this town, especially for the Black residents, I found it just has a whole different meaning when you walk by it now.
You mentioned about walking to work through Cranford. How long have you lived in Cranford and where did you come from before Cranford?
I was in Cranford. I've been in Cranford for 20 plus years. I think it's 24, perhaps. And then I grew up in Chatham, and so I'm a Jersey girl through and through. I lived in Hoboken, obviously. Everybody does out of college kind of at that time. So yeah, I was there for a decade. But yeah, I've been in Cranford for a long time, and it's funny to watch it evolve. I think when I first moved here, the cornerstone store was Dave's Wide Shoes. Do you
Oh
remember
yeah. Yep.
that?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And now it's so bustling and happening, and you don't have to drive anywhere to get a fantastic meal. So it's definitely funny to see it grow and change.
As a reporter and writer for Tap into Cranford, what are the kinds of stories that you're looking for? Are you there, for instance, when the township committee has their meetings? Are you covering that kind of quote unquote breaking news, or is it more feature type writing?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, we luckily TV 35 does the records all of the meetings so that I can watch them at my leisure, but we watch all of them and try and glean any information out of there that we can that will help our readers understand why the town does certain things, because that's something I didn't know. I didn't understand the whys a lot of time, and I think the township committee meetings are incredibly useful in understanding why. For example, I'm working with Mayor Andrews on a story on affordable housing in Cranford. I didn't understand why the town was in a, joined other towns in a lawsuit against the state. What was the reasoning? So that's the kind of thing that I find that I really learn each time I get involved. But that didn't really answer your question. Your question was more, what are we looking for? We like to do a little bit of everything because I imagine that anyone who reads Tap into Cranford has the same sort of questions and curiosities that I have about the town. So I love doing, features about, the Cranford Hotel, which was is the oldest restaurant, or the Dive, which I didn't understand the history or how they evolved into what they are today and why they're so beloved. I mean, to understand the history behind some of the places. Also, new people in town. I love new openings of stores and, the downtown Cranford with Karen Demian. Oh my gosh, she is amazing. Their team, her and Michelle, do such an amazing job. So there's always something to write about what's happening downtown. But again, we try to put a little bit more in the story is instead of just what's happening. We try and talk about, to people that are involved in that, get quotes from people that are affected by whatever's happening, like how the scarecrow stroll, what it's like to put a scarecrow together. And then also, how does that affect, the different stores or restaurants downtown when we do have the scarecrow stroll, and where did it come from? And, all of those kind of questions that I think anybody who lives in town might want to know.
You told me that you did have some previous Cranford journalism experience back in the days of the Cranford Chronicle. What did you do for the Chronicle, and what was that experience like?
Well, it was when I first moved. It was early days when I was here, maybe 5 or 6 years, where, I'd lived in Hoboken for a decade and I hadn't ever owned a house and I didn't know how to commute and all the things that you learn when you move out to the suburbs. And so I did a column there called Burb Basics, which was just sort of exploring things that I didn't know about that I'd have to know, like even simple stuff like annual things you had to do in the house, like changing your filters on your furnace. Nobody, unless you've got somebody that's telling you this stuff. And again, this was embarrassingly like pre-internet, it was a while ago, so it wasn't so obvious and easy to find information. Even if it was something simple, like I would test coffee mugs to go, travel mugs to go into that. And I was like, oh, that one leaked in my bag. Oh, that one leaked in my bag. So I'd find one that finally works. And I'm like, everyone should know this. Again, this is before Amazon became so prevalent. So it was just sort of a little informational column that I did for, I don't know, maybe 2 years, but I really enjoyed that as well.
Well, we've talked about the past. Let's look into the future. Even though it probably feels like it's been longer than just since September, had a chance to get your feet wet. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to doing in the months or even years ahead?
Well, Rebecca and I work really closely together on figuring out sort of the direction of the content in the stories. And it's really neat to sort of see, like, at first I just wrote whatever I was supposed to write. And now, she's enabled me to be as creative as I want to be. If I want to write about something, she's like, sure, write about it. I'm sure it's a good, she comes to me because she knows everybody in town and she's constantly saying, oh, what about this? What about that? We need to write about it. But we meet every month to talk about things that we might be missing or topics that we feel that are underserved. We have two interns from the high school, for example, that write for us, which is really great because to get the insight into it, it's different when you're writing on it from the outside. It's nice to get it from the kids themselves, which is terrific. And we've got two wonderful writers with Lillian and Dylan. Moving forward into the future, we're looking to do more reoccurring type of stories so people know to look out for them. So we love the historic houses or we love the Cranford history, but then we also like to profile certain businesses, and that have been here a while. So those we keep doing those and we find that those are really resonate with people. And we also talk about like the monthly. If this is Women's History Month, so Rebecca is running a contest where people nominate businesses that are women-owned businesses, and she's going to pick two, I think, to be profiled and tap into Cranford. So it's just, randomly, a random picking, not by, but that kind of thing, I think, where we can just keep shining a light on what makes the town special and different and the people that make up the town. I think that's going to be our focus always moving forward.
We have been talking on this episode of Cranford Radio with Dinah Dunn. She is an editor and writer for Tap Into Cranford. Dinah, thanks so much for being my guest here on Cranford Radio.
Thanks, it's been lovely.